Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, bringing the island's community together.
I recognise that tune. That's in one of our commercials at the moment. That is The Invisible Steps. And the bloke that wrote that and the book is in the studio right now. So it's a welcome back to Simon Whitworth. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, hi, how you doing? Yeah, it's been ages. I think the last time I saw you was on end of April when we played at Strins.
Oh, yeah, that was a great gig.
It was, wasn't it?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Yeah, it was fantastic.
Welcome back. I've got to say, I've missed you.
Yeah, I've missed you too.
I don't say that to many people.
Well, I hope not.
I don't.
No, it's great to be back. And it's been a very strange year, but, you know, we're back on form and just here to promote the book and say hello and see what else we can talk about.
Do you want to just touch on the last 6 months? I mean, it's. I'm not going to push you on it.
No. I just wasn't very well for a time, and at some stage they thought it was really going to be terrible, and life has changed dramatically for me in the last 6 months. But it's all good. It's all coming back together now. And but what it was, that period, which was really unsettling. It was incredibly good creatively because when you get the worst of news, and I just start writing, I write about everything. So it was really good from that angle, but it was a shocker as well. But, you know, we're here.
Yeah. And we've got lots to talk about.
Yeah, we've got loads.
I mean, you're quite prolific, aren't you, at the moment? I mean, you're writing songs, you've written a book. I mean, is this the first book you've ever written?
That's the first book I've ever written. I've written others since, and I've written other adaptations of that novel. But I wrote that. I started writing that about 20 years ago, to be honest. And then I wrote that all by hand. That's 140,000 words. Because when I wrote that, I couldn't type. I didn't know how to use a typewriter. So I wrote it all by hand. And when I was moving house recently, I found these boxes and boxes of all this handwritten work, which is that book. And I got this lady to type it, who you know well, actually, Maggie Curry. About 13 or 14, maybe, I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, when I first moved to the island, I needed someone to type out all my work, and I met her, and I would dictate the story, and she'd go off and type it, and then I'd go around and go through it. And it was that book took about 3 years to write, you know, but I was obsessed by it. That's all I did. I worked and then wrote. That was it. I didn't do anything else. And the end result was brilliant, but it wasn't quite where I wanted it to be because I hadn't worked with an editor. So last year I started working with an editor called Kirsty Ridge, and she pointed me, like, you need to write a bit more there, or we need to take this bit out. And now it just flows because you need someone like that in your life, you know. You do. It's like a music producer. I can write a great song, but it's great to work with someone.
This one must be so difficult to do because, I mean, you know, if you're making music, you can now, I mean, years ago it always be on reel-to-reel and Lord knows what. Now it's on technology. You can just open up a file and you can almost see where things need to be changed.
Well,
you can hone
yeah,
in.
Yeah, you can.
But this is like, you mentioned, how many thousand words?
I think that's about 138,000.
So that this book is filled with 138,000. Yeah. That's what it looks like. And you think, right, okay, can you just hone in on page whatever it is? And you've got to go. And it's like, wow, that's massive. So that's a huge job.
It's massive. Also because I'd obviously never written a book before. So I just wanted to write. I'd always written poetry and lyrics. And I always wanted to write a book. I wanted to write my own life, but I thought best way to do that is to write a novel, and there isn't you, but every emotion you felt, everything you've ever gone through in life is in the characters in that book. And that's just what I did. I just sat down and started writing and didn't stop. A bit like when Forrest Gump started running and he didn't stop. He just kept going, you know. And I got to the end and I thought, wow, you know, that's great. And amazingly, I didn't even plan, like, this, because a lot of stuff, like, you could be taught how to write a book, you could be taught how to write a song, but the best way to do it truly is to have the desire to do it and just get on with it.
Yeah.
So I just started writing.
We'll talk more about the book in a moment. We are going to play a song, and we are going to come back, and we're going to hear some more of your tunes as well. You've got a Christmas tune that we're going to play as well.
Mm.
And just to say, if you're writing a book over 20 years, and then you, or that's where it started, you come back, you must have had to reread everything and possibly do everything again and again just to sort of to refresh your memory.
Well, no, the actual concept was in my head about 20 years ago, but when I started writing, it was like a period of 3 years where I just channeled everything into it. And then you rewrite the whole thing, and then you rewrite it again. And again, and again. It just, and by the end of it, it's like, oh God, I can't stand this. you get to a chat, you think, oh my God, I've got to go through that again. But I am proud of it, and so I've done other adaptations of that, and also I wrote the musical of that book whilst I was writing the book. So,
is this a track that we're just about to play? Is that from it?
Yeah, this song, the Bella song, there's little characters in the book, a woodland creature called a Bella. Now, they're not like Smurfs or anything. They're not cutesy or anything. These are hardened little characters. If they fail in a quest, they die. And this is considered to be a good thing that they're in. But it's that balance of life where when you're pushing something so good, when does that turn into evil itself? So these Bellas, it's a sort of got a punky sort of element to it. So yeah, it's great. I only recorded this a few weeks ago, so it's cool.
Excellent. You have been busy. So that's what we're going to play into a break. We're going to come out the other side with can we come out the other side with your Christmas song, or would you like something else?
Do it however you want to do it.
Okay, so we're going in with some punk.
Yeah, it is.
Coming out the other side with something Christmassy.
It's not punky, it's edgy. Very mild, it's still for kids, but it's got a bit of edge to it.
All right.
Yeah, cool.
All right, this is Bella's song then.
Yeah.
I write those words again, the words I'm gonna say, only to your face on Christmas Day. I gave my heart to you, I split my soul in two, so I could be one, and one with you.
Love it. That's Stop the World, that's a Christmas song from you.
Yeah.
When did you release that then?
I haven't.
You haven't?
No, that's... Should we
be playing it?
You can play away if you want, you know that. Now, I was going to... I recorded a Christmas EP for this year, but... I just didn't feel like putting it out.
We'll do it next year.
Yeah, possibly.
Well, you don't want to flood the market. You've got a book as well.
Yeah.
So, should we talk about the book?
Yeah.
Jesse Granton and the Invisible Steps. Written by you.
Yeah.
Maggie Curry did some kind of editing on it.
No, that was... when I first wrote the first draft, she... because I wrote it all by hand, I couldn't type back then because it was many years ago. I met Maggie and she kindly typed all my words and for a fee, of course. nobody else nothing for nothing, do they? You know? But no, she was great. And so over that period of time, I'd write a section, I'd dictate it, and she would write exactly what I'd written, and I'd work on it from there. But it's been through a lot of process since then. But that was the very, very early days. Yeah, it was cool.
Give us the story without giving too much away and setting it up so people think, because I know this is going to be perfect for my wife.
Yeah.
She'll probably read this before me because she's a bookworm, and I'm like one of those audio... We'll talk about audio books later on, but set it up for us.
It's about a 14-year-old girl, Jessie Grant, who lives on a floating land. She has the ability to see 24 hours into the future, and with the help of the Bellas, she changes the sequence of events on Earth below to stop evil's intent. But Jesse is tricked down to Earth with the Bellas by these dark suns, and Jesse's destiny starts to unravel, and that's where the mystery really starts. It's like a Da Vinci Code for children, really, 11 plus.
Yeah. Okay, and I'm picturing audio book as well, but I'm also thinking film.
Well, that film has always been the main thing, because when I first started writing it, instead of writing it like, oh, this is going to be a book, I sort of wrote it as if I was watching a movie. So it's a very visual book to read, if that makes sense. The descriptions, it's very visual. Yeah, one day it'd be lovely if it was a film. Like a bit like The Greatest Showman, because I've written all these wonderful songs to go with it, that, a musical film would just be perfect.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, the music that I've heard so far is brilliant. Yeah, absolutely thanks. Loved it. Yeah. And that track, we should point out before we went into the break, nothing at all to do with the book. It's just a single that you've released or it's out there. What was that called?
Which one were we on?
It was Bella's song, wasn't
Bella's
it?
Bella's song. That's for the characters, the Bellas. They're the woodland creature. Now, their physical form on this floating land called Bluebell Wood, their physical form lays dormant in a bell of a bluebell until a spirit from Earth that has more to offer or has died maybe prematurely is placed within this physical form, and it brings it back to life. And then their job is to serve humanity and try and make the world right. But they're hardy creatures, because it's not like they're not like little Smurfs or anything like that. They're right on the edge of, if they fail in a quest, they have to let themselves die, because it's the only thing that can kill them. And unfortunately, if they do fail in a quest and their spirit leaves their body, then the darkness enters their body, and that becomes a brutal enemy to the Bella, and that's called a Malasol. So it's a really edgy thing. It's always pushing that boundary of when does good become evil. It's like when I went to boarding school, it was so strict on teaching you how to behave properly. When does it become wicked? I mean, no problem with boarding school. It was fantastic. But in natural fact, at what point does that instilling goodness into you turn into wickedness itself? So that's kind of the... Am I going on too much?
No, this is intriguing. I know you're painting a really good picture.
It's like a circle. Like, it turns into good, and then it falls back into wickedness, and that's kind of what the concept of the book. And it's massive on friendship, it's massive on loyalty, and not judging people by appearance, because the heroes of this book are the ones that have been ousted by society, and they're then trying to help society that's been so cruel to them survive. So it's a real edgy type of read, but it's beautiful as well.
Okay. Well, look, I mean, you're setting it up really. I mean, we've been advertising it. You've been advertising it on Facebook. Yeah. And I know last time I saw it was sold out on Amazon.
Yeah, it's selling really well. I mean, when you do something like this, it's not, I want to be famous, I want to be rich. It's basically you've created a piece of art that you want people to be part of. Because to give someone a novel to read, you're asking a lot of them, because you're asking for 13, 15 hours of their life. Whereas if I was an artist and I just painted something, you're asking for 2 or 3 seconds.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it. Okay. Should we play another song from it?
Yeah, what are you doing, Gresham?
Yeah, is that all right?
Yeah, that's cool. shall I talk about it? Or?
Yeah, go on if you want. It's yours, isn't it?
Yeah,
I can't. Well, this is great. I produced this back in the day.
Yeah, you'd probably do a better job of it. Gresham is... She's the missing daughter of Mother Nature in the story, and the only reason she's alive is that she can't remember who she was, and as soon as she remembers who she was, she will be tracked down by these four sons who wish to implode upon her, make one mighty demon to rule the world complete.
If I took... Oh, sorry.
You cut me off, I can't believe...
I thought you'd finished.
I never finished.
Simon,
Sorry, I was rattling on what I could see you glazing over.
No, I wasn't glazing over, I was thinking, he's finished now.
No. Just put your hand up and I'll stop.
All right, sir. So this is Gresham?
Yeah, this is it.
Have you finished now?
No, can I just say... the lady that sang this is a girl called Hannah Vost, and she's remarkable. I gave her this song and lyrics, and she just fell into character. So this is wonderful. Wonderful piece of work now.
If I touch your hand, an artist you will be. If I whisper to you, I give you my you'll see. If I'm Gresham, how can I survive?
That's Gresham. And that's from a musical that you're currently... Well, last time we spoke, you were... this was going to happen in June of this year. Is there a plan for this to happen?
Not as such, but we'll definitely put it on next year at some stage. Yeah, we had to cancel. I just wasn't very well. So it's... yeah, it was really sad.
Well, the music sounds awesome, and I know I think we might have played a track or two last time you were in, but there was that new one that we heard earlier on, The Bellies, which was fantastic.
Oh,
the story sounds amazing, and to actually see it, and I'll be honest with you, I'm one of those people that never really got into the musicals and couldn't understand it, and then I went to watch, I think it was Warhorse, and it kind of opened my eyes and made me use my imagination.
Yes, great.
And I know we see musicals as, you know, Grease and things like that, but to actually see it on the stage, it kind of makes you, it does, it just makes you use your imagination, and I would imagine the atmosphere is quite electric, especially with the music. So.
Yeah, I mean, with this musical, there's never been anything like this. There never has, and I'm so confident about it. I just wish we were in a position to put on a full production, because it will be magnificent one day. When someone gets behind it, you know, and with the stage and the cast and everything, it would be world class. I'm so convinced of that.
Well, just on what I've heard, you know, the music and the story and so on, I just see, I'm there, sat there, and I think I'll be first in the queue to get a ticket, although I'm hoping you might, you know, give me one. I mean, you give me a copy of the book, and thank you for that.
That's all right. Yeah, I was going to ask for the money, but, you know.
How much is it? Does it say on
tenner.
There?
It's all right. Tenner.
Well, actually, it's $9.99. I'm hoping you were going to give me a penny change.
All right, that's fine.
What other projects are you working on at the moment?
Next year, we've got the live album coming out. We've got a new wave sort of punk album coming out. I've got a list in front of me. Sorry, I've got to look.
That's all right.
And there's also a young lad who's covered one of my songs called Liam Kinn. He's doing a song called Blue Jeans, which I wrote, and he's done a fantastic job of that. So that will be out early next year. And obviously, we're going to try and put on the musical showcase. And also I was thinking of getting a band together to just play songs from the musical.
Sort
of like a gigging band, just to do like places like Strings and go take it into London. Because the music, it stands alone. It doesn't need the story. It's strong enough on its own.
Yeah,
so,
I get that.
Yeah,
you can get that, especially that song, Bellies. I can't get that out of my head now.
Oh, that's brilliant, because that's the latest one. That was only done about 3 weeks ago. So, that you know, what you fear is people saying, oh, it's not as good as the old stuff. but your reaction's great, so I might actually just get rid of the old stuff and move move forward.
Well, no, what's lovely is it's different.
Yeah.
It's different to what you've kind of done before. I mean, you know, I get that vibe when we're playing stuff from a studio that you've produced yourself or someone else has, you know, you've allowed them to have a go at producing. Yeah. It's more, it's polished.
Yeah.
And then when you see you live, it's polished, but there's an edge to it.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
And the live stuff was just amazing. There was one track, and we're going to lead on, we're going to play this in a minute. There was one track that we saw you do in April. It was a song that I'd never heard before because you couldn't be bothered to put it on an album. You certainly didn't send the MP3 to me.
No.
And then when I heard it, I thought, wow, I've got to get this. Where is it? And you said, oh, it's not available yet.
No.
And then for months afterwards, oh, it's not available yet. Mm. And I'm thinking, you tease. You tease, Whitworth. You tease.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Then I messaged you recently and you said, oh, that particular version is now available on your website.
It is, and that's off the live album, which is coming out in January, February, somewhere around that time. So yeah, it's great. So I actually wrote it for live, though. I when you create a set list for live, it's a different art form in itself, and it has to. So if something's missing, I just write it, and I wrote this, and it's a true story about true lady.
You're not denying anything then.
Something to do with me. I just picked up on gossip.
Okay, look, before we play the song, we'll come back to that in a minute. We're gonna go into that into a break with Borderline. We're gonna come out the other side with a song called Agreed.
Agreed, yeah.
Tell me about this. This is new.
Because I'd had an upsetting year, I totally write from my emotions, and I just wrote this song. It came out almost in one hit, and it's about basically saying goodbye to someone that you love that's passing away, and it's wishing you could be with them. And trying to record this recently in the studio, I could barely get through singing it. It meant so. It broke my heart.
And I can see now that you're getting emotional just talking about it.
Absolutely, yeah.
You better get the tissues for when we play it.
Yeah, we get to do Borderline first. So right. That'll take the
Before we do that, let's just talk about where we can get the book. The book is available. It is available at Amazon when they've got some.
Yeah, Amazon, Waterstones, Troubadour, their main website. Basically, most of the main online retailers.
Look, when you become this big, big star, which you deserve to be, you will still come into Vectis Radio, won't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You sounded a bit reluctant.
No. Do you know what I was reluctant about? Because I've been there for the past two or three years, and you've said that, and I was thinking, when's it going to happen? But no, of course I will. I love
it
coming
will.
In.
It will.
It will. Yeah.
I mean, normally when a musician comes in, I say, or you know, a writer or something, you're going to have 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But we give you virtually the whole hour.
Yeah, I know. I'm really grateful.
But that's the only reason I do it is because, one, I like you. You're a lovely fella.
Oh, thanks.
And two, I really enjoy chatting to you and playing your music.
Oh, that's really kind.
And we get some music out of it.
No, it's lovely to come in. It always is.
Great to see you.
Yeah,
and I say, you know, the book is out now. Mm-hmm. It would make a lovely Christmas present.
Yeah, well.
Next year you've got your new live album coming out as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be working on them. When I say we, I mean, we're going to nudge you along there to get the musical done and dusted and on air as well.
Yeah.
But this is something that you did live at Strings.
April this year.
And, the thing is, this is the difference now. The studio you is different to the live you.
Mm.
So we're just going to play the clip that we've got because it's you on stage introducing the track.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
And I love this song. This is this is called Borderline?
Yeah, Borderline, yeah.
Okay, enjoy. Thank you for coming in, Tom.
No,
it's great
a pleasure.
To see you.
And you. Love it. Thank you.
Now?
Yeah. It's radio a few years ago, and she was like such a lovely, clean woman. It turned out she was actually a dominatrix in her spare time. So I wrote this song about her, and it's a blinder. It's great. Enjoy.
Thank you. nation.